you, Lord. Did you have anything you wanted to share, Bob, or did Richard, or nothing there?
No, I think we're good.
We're good? Okay, well, I'll carry on as if I'm normal. I want to preach out of Psalm 1. That'd be easy enough for you to find. This is one of my favorite psalms to meditate on. What's it mean to be a tree planted by the water? So good. So let me read it. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Spend a month right there. Nor stands in the way of sinners. Now that's not stands in the way of them like to stop them, but stands in the road that they're on. Nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Trees. Trees, trees, trees. I lost my... There we are. Trees are important to us at this season. My son is learning to be an arborist, and so we talk about trees a lot. You know, he's climbing up and topping them and making sure they're shaped properly and there are any diseased areas he's pulling off. He's becoming a tree surgeon. Does that sound official? So we talk about trees a fair amount. I've always loved trees. And I always loved the nation of Israel because of what they did with trees. 1948, they became a nation, right? Up to 1948, when they started to understand that they may get the land that had been promised to them, given to them by a League of Nations declaration through the British, they started to look around, and at the time they started, there were less than 100,000 trees in Israel. Like, that's all of Israel, all the area that they now claim. 100,000 trees, because trees had been chopped down for fuel, for your fires, and for whatever building products you needed or whatever, you know. So there weren't a lot of trees around at the time they were interested. And they started to plant because they knew that the land had been promised to them. And I love that about the prophetic. When you get a prophetic word, you can move toward it by starting to preparing your heart, thanking God in it, and beginning to do the practical stuff. God says, I am going to send you to Spanish nations. Might be a good idea to learn Spanish before you go. Because it's embarrassing when you're there and you don't know how to speak anything. So it's having the faith to believe that there is something there for you. So the people that were moving to Israel decided to start planting trees, and they had 4.5 million trees planted by the time Israel was given to them in 1948.
Wow.
4.5 million as compared to about 100,000. So, you know, they're bringing it back to green again from dirt and sand. Now, there are over 200 million trees. Let's get a concept of that. Trees of every kind. Israel flourishes. It's become a green state again. It's wonderful. They started to move toward the promise. The promise became theirs, and they've become good stewards with that. And they take care of the trees that are there. Trees do so much. They provide us shade. They often bear fruits or nuts, a lot like our congregation. Thank you for that. They add oxygen to the air. Their wood is fuel for fires and lumber for shelter. They give protection from wind. Their foliage and roots prevent erosion. They are beautiful in shape and virtually infinite in variety. Property is more valuable with trees than without trees. In Surrey now, you're not allowed to cut down trees. You have to have approval to cut down a tree. I think they've gone a little too far, but that's the nature of trying to reclaim something. The pendulum swings. I looked up this poem I learned when I was a kid by Joyce Kilmer. And it says, I think that I shall never see a poem as lovely as a tree. You know that one? A tree that looks at God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray. Poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree. Isn't that lovely? And then Ogden Nash, shortly after that was written, he's a satirist more than anything, I think. He parodied that poem with, I think that I shall never see a billboard as lovely as a tree. Indeed, unless the billboards fall, I will never see a tree at all. I love his sense of humor. In 2007, students in Shanghai started a thing called Shanghai Roots and Shoots Million Tree Project. They wanted to plant trees in Inner Mongolia because Inner Mongolia was way up in altitude, but it was becoming a desert and it was eroding every year, and so. Everybody that had gardens or anything, it would be overwhelmed by sand as the windstorms blew up, and the scientists there said that it was because they were losing their trees, and so these students in Shanghai got the idea. Well, if we plant trees, then maybe we'll lose less of this, and they started to plant trees at that point, and they had, just let me get it here. The goal was to plant 1 million trees in Inner Mongolia where the desert was encroaching on farming land. This was happening in part because of poor farming methods, global warming, and other factors. So in 2007, they started, and every spring, sandstorms threatened the livelihood of the farmers. Made the air unbreathable and often sent sand into the air that would travel hundreds, even thousands of miles. The project has been a huge success. It caught the attention of environmentalists and in the Rio 2016 Olympics, they played a video there, and they've had hundreds of thousands of volunteers there. The project has been funded completely, and the trees, they've planted millions of trees. Like it says, 5 million here in Inner Mongolia. But now they need to be managed and maintained, and so this project is is actually bringing life back to Inner Mongolia. People have changed everything. Their farming practices have changed because it's been brought to their attention. They're not simply surviving anymore. The farmers there are not simply surviving. They're actually wanting to thrive. A tree planted by the water thrives because it has all that it can handle. The trees, as I talked to my son about trees, he said that the cedar trees, we have lots of cedar trees around here. Cedar trees, if you look, the ends of them are starting to turn brown because we've had, the last 2 years, we've had drought in the summer, a drought that we're not used to having. And so the cedar trees, which usually flourish here, are actually dying. And they figure the arborists figure that they're going to have to be chopping down a whole bunch of cedar trees in BC in the next, well, in Washington State as well, in the next few years because there's not enough water. They're not planted by the water. Here, you know, we live in a rainforest for crying out loud. You know, what's wrong with this picture? Anyway, trees are so important. And they're being recognized as such. You know, you've heard about the deforestation in South America and in Brazil, and how important that is to us as a world that needs that oxygen from the trees to survive, because they live on CO2. We live on the oxygen that they breathe. They live on the CO2 that we breathe out. So when the psalmist speaks of a tree in verse 3 in Psalm 1, what species of tree do you suppose he's talking about? Doesn't name it. Yeah. Might it be a fir or a poplar or an elm? Yeah, good. In the Rockies, it might be an aspen that they're talking about because they're starting to turn color up there right now, looking very beautiful. In the eastern provinces, Ontario, Quebec, and the Maritimes, it might be a maple, silver maple, red maple, yeah. Norway maple, sugar maple. Down in the south, it might have been a magnolia tree. Ever seen a magnolia? They're beautiful trees. Cherry trees I was thinking of the beautiful cherry blossoms in Stanley Park. You know, they're gorgeous in the spring. The psalmist says, they are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. They, who are they? What species? What are these beautiful, fruitful trees with leaves that do not wither? I heard it out there, but it's not talking about a tree. It's talking about believers. So it's a believer tree, a righteous tree. We might call it a Christian tree. Talking about us and what we're to do, right? And we need to be planted by the water. I've heard lots of sermons out of this psalm about being planted in a church. And I think that that's right on. You know, you get planted in a church, stay there, you know, because you're getting watered, you're getting fed, make sure that you prosper in that place. And I think that there's a place for that. But first of all, let's just be trees. Recognize that God cares for us the way he cares for trees, even more than he cares for the trees. But how important it is to recognize the value of trees. In fact, to continue, The righteous are often compared to trees in Scripture. In Psalm 92, the righteous flourish like a palm tree. In that same verse, and in Hosea 14:5, the righteous are compared to the cedars of Lebanon. In Hosea 14:6, a righteous person is an olive tree. In Isaiah 61:3, we read, "They shall be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory." A palm, a cedar, an olive, and an oak, all with special characteristics. We who are the righteous are compared to these trees. Our psalm doesn't indicate a species. So when we look at the text, we can see that what characterizes this tree. The believer tree is what I called it. That person, that believer tree, that personification of a person, is happy, tickled pink to be perched on the edge of the river. Doing what he or she is supposed to do or be. Happy are those. It's well understood that God didn't put us on this earth and Jesus didn't die on the cross so that we could be happy. Our purpose and our goals for a meaningful life surely must go beyond the desire to just be happy. But the happiness that this talks about is an inner happiness, a knowing that you're where you're supposed to be, a knowing that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. There is so much fear out there right now that you're not having the time that everybody else is having. You're not as happy as everybody else. You're not as fulfilled as they are because this stuff is coming across social media all the time saying, "Look at that. I never had a meal that looked like that." and they're going, look at their toes. They're taking pictures of their toes by the beautiful ocean sides. And I'm not there. I'm here working. What's going on here? And so there's this sort of an anxiety, angst that's being built in us all of the time. And that removes us from happiness. Happiness is just a contentment. And there is a contentment when we know we are grounded and rooted in the Lord. Like it's that foundation that we push off from and move and have our being in. It's that knowing where we're going to be and knowing that we're loved and knowing that this God that we love so much is not finished with us yet, and we actually are going to get a chance to grow and learn and do and and be. And that kind of happiness is better than, "Oh, I just wish I was happy." You know, that fleeting moment of happiness. Happiness is way bigger than all of that. And he says, happy are those, he says. That said, we can also say that a believer who is unhappy just doesn't make sense. A Christian who goes through life and can go through life and go through periods of time where things are not just right, where they're not in touch with the foundation. Something's happened. It's a season of warfare, or it's a season of sickness, or something's come upon us. And so happiness just doesn't enter into our psyche at a time like that. But we don't live in that place. There is a place where we can always return to because we're planted, yes, by the water. Because that stuff is happening in us all the time. Like the tree isn't consciously sucking up the water so that it can be happy. It's just going about doing what it's supposed to do, and the happiness is there. And where we're going about the things that we're supposed to be doing, the happiness just is there. There's a contentment. There's a there's a knowledge that we are His and He is ours, that He lives within us. And we can return to that even if we're going through a season that isn't just right. Some of our trees get diseased for a season, and with a little help they get returned to normal. Even a tree that looks dead, there's a story about the farmer who had this tree that was dead and said, "No, I'm going to give it one more year. I'm going to dung the tree." You know, they dig it out a little bit, pull it up, put manure, fertilizer underneath it, and allow it to have the maximum possibility available to it. Watch it for a year, and often they'd come back. Often they would be fruitful again, and the tree gets planted back in, and away we go. Happy tree. That kind of stuff. God doesn't give up on us. He's so beautiful. Yeah. A believer tree is a person who doesn't listen to or take bad advice. Perhaps one reason for happiness is that the believer is careful about whose opinions she values or respects. This is particularly timely because we live in a culture where fake news and scam artists thrive. It's easy to listen to fools these days. People who are not happy can dictate or can affect our lives immensely on social media. So much so that some people have committed suicide because of what's happened on social media. There's something wrong with that. And the people that say these nasty things would not have the gumption to say it in person. But when there's a disconnect and they can do it from afar, just kind of yelling terrible things to somebody a long way away, they have such an effect on somebody's life and somebody's death. There's something wrong with a society that allows that. But it's the one that we're in, and it's too easy to listen to fools these days. The Apostle Paul was even surprised by the tendency of believers to believe just about anything. He said in Galatians 1, verse 6 and 7, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you and want you to pervert the gospel of Christ." It was happening then, it's happening now. We've got to be aware of what the Word says. And there's only one way to do that, to actually engage the Word. The person who doesn't walk down the same path as the wrong crowd is the believer tree. He doesn't take the path that sinners tread. In verse 1, it said that in Psalm 1. These people are strong enough to stand against the current and go against the crowd and clear their own trail. It is harder and harder in this society. Like 10 years ago, I was looking at a sermon that I preached. And I said, I can see the time when we will be called the haters. We're supposed to be known by our love. We're supposed to be the people that exude love. When Nero was told that the Christians were becoming plentiful in the Roman Empire, he said, "Well, how do you know they're Christians? You know them by their love." But now we're being known as haters because we stand against the tide of society. Cheryl is running for office. Do you know that? She's going to be, yeah. She's standing against the tide. going to be trustee of a school board, you know. What's that?
As long as we can get her in there. Praise God.
Our God will do what he's going to do. And she is very capable. But I need you to pray for her. Because the enemy is going to sling whatever he can against anybody who stands for righteousness in any way these days. And that stuff can stick to you and have an effect upon how you walk. So pray that she will be washed from all of that sticky stuff that can come upon her. She doesn't deserve to be mistreated in this season. Because she wants to help people. She wants to love people and make sure that kids get a good education. And for that, she will be called terrible names and reviled. And that's just not right. So prayer will make a difference for her. So please, please pray for her as she stands for us and for her God. She's a believer tree. A believer tree is a person who doesn't hang out with the cynical and unbelievers. Why waste time hanging out with people who don't share your values? Of course, there's a place for evangelism. And yes, by spending time with the cynical and unbelievers, we may learn more about their concerns and issues. But the psalmist here refers to those who prefer the company of the unrighteous and to the company of the righteous. The believer tree is not like that. The roots of the believer tree are sunk into the clear, pure water of everlasting streams, not the acidic, caustic waters of the cynical and unbelieving. There is something absolutely delightful about what fellowship does, about meeting together, about rubbing shoulders with other Christians, being challenged by other Christians, being exhorted by other Christians, by being loved and cared for by other Christians. There is something absolutely delightful about that. But when you're in the company of the cynical, that rubs off on you too. And so You start to wear it and you start to become it. And that's not what a Christian is supposed to be. We're to have community, live in community. God created family. He created marriage. He created wonderful things so that we would have pictures of what it's to be like as a church family, caring for one another, making sure that everything works together, and being positive and encouraging to one another. We shouldn't want to spend more time with the unbelievers than we do with the believers. Unless you're like crazy strong evangelist, they can take anything. I mean, you know, that's a gift. And less than 10% of the Christian church seems to have that gift. But if you've got it, we need to pray for you too. Because it's awesome. With the rest of us, we need to hang out together and just kind of foray into the unbelievers' camp. A believer tree is that person who delights in the Word of God. Let's face it, many believers are lacking in this quality. The Bible is not the first book we're likely to pick up. It doesn't always lend itself to light reading. Yet it is key. It is key to our moral and spiritual formation. And with discipline, daily Bible reading can be achieved. For example, the Psalms are easy to read for the most part. There's 150 Psalms. If you read 5 a day, you'll read all of the Psalms in a month, a 30-day month. Read 2 in the morning, 3 before you go to bed. Bite-sized pieces. And you'll get to know the Word of God. It will become real and live and active to pick it up again. God's not mad at you because you haven't read enough lately. You haven't been in His Word. He just really wants to talk. If you're to Read one proverb a day. There's 31 proverbs. Pick a month with 31 days in it, like October. read one a day, and you're through the book of Proverbs in a month. Simple pie. You always know where you are, too. It's October 15th. Oh, I'm on the 15th. Easy to remember and easy to work with. There's ways to get into the Word that aren't going to make you feel like heavy and overburdened by this thing. But you will be hearing the precious Word of God. Mm-hmm. And it is alive and active.
Right.
It is alive and active. It will read you before you read it. And it will speak to you in ways that will astound you and bring life to your bones. Yeah. It's an amazing, amazing thing that happens. And so I encourage you to find a way that you can fit it in somehow. A believer tree is that person who not only delights in the Word, but digs into the Word continually. And it says, and on his law they meditate day and night, in verse 2. A strong believer is one who gets into the Word seriously. It's a conscious aspect of daily life. A believer tree is that person who is fruitful. These people yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all they do, they prosper. It's an apple tree that delivers apples in season, a cherry tree that produces cherries in season, a fig tree that delivers figs in season. Doesn't mean you won't try some things and you'll see them not work out the way you thought they would. That's just getting to know God and how He moves. But to be fruitful in all you do is what He wants. It's not to be dry and stagnant and bitter. To be fruitful and to have people see that you're fruitful in your ways, that there are good things that you're doing in your life. It's so good. So good to be a believer tree. The believer tree is that person who has great foliage. That doesn't mean big hair. It's a leafy tree. Psalm 92:14 tells us that they are always green. Jeremiah 17:8 says, and its leaves shall stay green. The godly believe living a righteous life is a person who looks good, acts good, and is good. The believer even smells good. Yeah, okay. This is the person you want to be. This is a person that you can trust with your children. This is a person that you can trust to manage the office. This is a person who you can trust implicitly. It's a person of integrity. A person who you can give them the keys to your house and you know your stuff is going to be safe. Doesn't matter. That's the kind of person that a tree planted, that believer tree, is. And that's the kind of people that we want to be.
Amen. That's good.
Not a question derived from the world around us where we cannot trust anybody, where fear is running rampant. You can't go out at night and feel safe, you know? Yeah. You can't park your car and not be concerned that somebody's not going to break into it. It's like fear is all over the place out there. We've got to be able to trust each other and find a place for trust in our lives. So you could say that the believer tree looks good, but it also makes others look good. Trees with lots of foliage help keep our atmosphere rich with oxygen and benefiting everyone. It's not a selfish tree. The believer is like that too. She wants to help others breathe better, live better. People are better because they hang out under the shade of what this believer offers. And the believer tree makes God look good. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display his glory, out of Isaiah 61. The believer tree glorifies God with all that beautiful foliage, even in a season of drought. It says in Jeremiah 17, in the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. It glorifies the Creator. How are we glorifying the Creator in our daily lives? Do our lives bear the fruit that we should be bearing to his glory? Because it's really about him. We're being convinced more and more that it's all about us. We apparently are the most selfish people who have ever existed on the face or history of the earth. And that is... That's on my watch. That's on your watch. We are not a people who are known to be loving and caring for those around us. That's our society. But we as Christians should be known for even better than that. The word is full of, you know, if you care for the poor, God will care for you. In one way or another, there's lots of verses in that. But we need to be aware that all of that has cost to us. An apple tree that gives up an apple so that it might feed someone, that's a cost to that apple tree. It doesn't have all the apples it used to have. There's one or two missing. There's always a cost to do the right thing. But God enjoys restoring anything that was lost during a time like that. Our God is so awesome and so great and so magnificent that everything we do should glorify his name. That's what we should be living for. Now, I know that that's very difficult. I know that that's difficult. But we should be looking to that at least. We should be considering that should be a thought in our day. Am I glorifying you in this, Lord? Or is this just all about me again? Now he's not angry with you. Even if you're living your life totally selfishly, what he is calling you. He has something better for you, it is a destiny that will make you feel like you're happy is the tree that is planted by the water. The word of God will water you. It says, watered by the word. The word flowing through you, not stagnant in you, but being called upon as in your daily speech. The word coming in and going out. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Faith, love, all through the Scripture. Where are our priorities? I'm too busy for this. Or I'm too busy to go to home group on Wednesday. Don't have time for that. You're laughing because you go. It's in your house. Where are your priorities? Do your priorities show that you're a believer or not? If somebody picked up your checkbook or your bank account or your debit card, would they know that you're a Christian or not? Because we should be known as Christians in everything that we do. It's about walking with him in all things and glorifying his name. He is not done with you. He doesn't want you to feel guilt or shame. He wants you to come back into full relationship. The enemy is beating down a number of people in this room, in just this little room here, by saying you're not measuring up, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're not. God isn't concerned about that. The enemy is concerned about that. God is saying, just come. Just come to me. Just spend a little time with me and watch what we can do together. He is so loving and so caring. He has nothing but good thoughts about you. He sees you through the shed blood of Jesus. He couldn't have anything but good thoughts about you. He is so wonderful. So wonderful. I wonder if Amanda is here or somebody could play some music just so we can kind of worship a little bit. There she is. And just as we're singing, whatever it is that she's got for us to sing, think about, what are you saying to me today through this, Lord? You called me to this meeting. I didn't want to come out in the rain, but I did it out of obedience. Now, what do you want to say to me? What am I to take away from this? And just let him speak to you. Let him speak his words of love to you. And I'll come back and we'll pray together. And then if you want to pray about something specific that you're having issues with, then there'll be people to pray with you at the front of the church. But let's just stand and worship the Lord together. Respond to his word.